to it, it says, from the garden you may eat.
I know, but it may be a euphemistic term, because we have much caution and stuff about sexual sin, but there's no caution about what kind of fruit we're supposed to eat off the trees. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying.
It's just something to think about, because we know that that is the predominant sin in our culture, in every culture probably, and it's the predominant way that all the idolatry was expressed through sexual sin.
And they covered up their nakedness, they were ashamed.
How innocent. An apple, the story of the apple is it's innocent, but the others.
But there was never an apple. I mean, that's not in the Bible.
No, it's fruit. It's just fruit. Yeah, but we put it as the apple.
But I would think the predominant would be pride. And from that, all that sexual and all that stuff.
Well, this is true, but it expresses itself, and it has expressed itself through the sexual stuff.
Right, but pride is up there.
Oh, yeah, that was Satan's.
That's why it's cast out.
The other ones are the expression of pride.
This is true, but how more to corrupt the people to turn, raise their fist against God than to corrupt the very source of life itself, Anyway.
We'll just have the
fun. Just something fun to think about. All right.
Don't forget to turn your thing back on.
I did. I turned it back on. All right. Okay, so they did what they weren't supposed to do, and of course, it was a serpent that enticed them, right? And we know that serpent is who? Who is he?
Satan.
Okay. He might have looked like a beautiful serpent, a beautiful beguiling serpent, but he is Satan, he is the devil, he is a deceiver, he's the one that was a liar from the beginning, and he was also a murderer from the beginning, right? We know that's who it was in the garden with the woman. So how did he get to be like this? And the curious thing is when this all happened. I'm still trying to figure that out. But how did the devil get to be like he was? What did you see in Ezekiel 28?
He got thrown out of heaven.
Okay, what does it say he was like before, though?
He was
he was like the highest one, right?
It goes back to pride.
Does that mean he was higher than Gabriel?
It doesn't really say that. He was the anointed cherub who covers. He had, it seems like, a predominant position in the Garden of Eden, right? It says, in Eden, the Garden of God. He was in Eden. The Garden of God. He was the seal of perfection. He is full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. He was the anointed cherub who covers. God placed him in the holy mountain of God. He was blameless. He was blameless, like all the angels, I'm sure, until what?
Pride.
Until unrighteousness was found in him, right? He says he was internally filled with violence, and he sinned. He was cast out and destroyed.
Was the Garden of Eden in heaven?
See, I don't know. He was in Eden, the Garden of God. What would that be? Was there a heavenly Eden, or was he talking about the garden at the creation? Was he in the garden? I don't know. So I don't know. I honestly don't know. I've been trying to figure that out for years. What's the order of things? How did it all? Of course, there's some that think that the earth was created. There was a general creation, and that Satan fell and caused a huge cataclysmic chaos that kind of messed everything up, and then God started again, because there was already something here, and he started again. So maybe that's true. I have no idea. I'm not saying that's it, but I don't know. But we know that when God made Adam and Eve and he put them in the garden, who was there? He was there, and he wasn't any blameless creature then, was he? No, he was out to get them, because he'd been cast out. And of course, who did he want to be like?
God.
Yeah, he wanted to be like God. He'd raised himself up, he'd exalted himself, but because he was internally filled with violence, and he sinned. Very sad. And so we see then in Romans chapter 5, what happened as a consequence of the sin of Adam and Eve. Okay.
Sin entered the world.
Okay, through one man, sin entered the world. So even though really Eve was the first one, Adam is the head, isn't he? And so the sin is reckoned to him as being the one that brought it in. So through one man sin entered the world, death came through sin. And because of the sin, death spread to who?
All men.
To all men, because
All sin.
All sin. You know, it just, once we had a sin nature, we all are sinners. We're all sinners. We are all sinners.
Can I ask a question about when Satan fell, didn't a third of the angels fall yes. with him?
Yes.
They are the demons today.
We see that pictured in Revelation, don't we? We see Satan falling and we see him taking a third of the yeah. stars with him. Yep. All right, so the consequence, sin entered the world, death came through sin, and then what do we see in Genesis 3?
Pain and childbearing.
Okay. Pain and childbirth. Husband is to do what?
Rule over you.
Okay, rule over the wife, and the woman's desire is to do what?
To rule over him. It never works.
Nope, God says the man's going to rule over you, but we want to rule. We want to do that, don't we? We want that job. So that's part of the curse. So the woman wants to rule over the man, and then the ground was cursed, and what did they have to do? Okay, it's not the work, it's working by what?
Sweat of the brow.
Okay, the sweat of the brow, the resistance. If the ground doesn't just produce corn and beans anymore, now it's going to produce corn, beans, thistles, and weed, and dandelions, and all kinds of terrible things. Well, dandelions are really good for you. But, okay, the weeds. So it's going to be much more resistance to their work. It's going to work much harder to get the produce. And then we see in John 8, 34, what does it say about the people that sin?
Everyone
who sins is a slave to sin. You're a slave to sin. Slave of sin. And then Ephesians 2 tells us what we were before. As believers, what were we before?
You were dead in your sins.
Okay, dead in trespasses and sins.
Influenced by Satan.
Okay, influenced by Satan. The prince of the power of the air is what? What does it say? I know, but what is he doing?
Well, he's gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature.
It says he is at work in the sons of disobedience. And so we think about those who are not saved, who is busy working in their lives? It's the devil, the prince of the power of the air. Isn't it interesting? Think about the airwaves and all that goes on through the air, through the waves these days. He is the prince of all that. So he is the one who is at work in the sons of disobedience, who live in the lust of the flesh. They indulge the desires of the flesh and the mind, and by nature are what?
Children of wrath.
Children of wrath. And that's what we were. That was the category that we were in. But not anymore. So a man sinned, he lost the dominion over the earth, he died spiritually, became a slave to sin, and enslaved to the fear of death and under the power of Satan. So it says in Hebrews chapter 2 that who were we subjected to? Who has the power of death?
Devil.
Okay, the devil. He has the power of death. But he was what? But through the blood of Christ, he is what?
Defeated.
He's rendered powerless. He is powerless over us. It's so good for us to remember that. Because we see him busy at work, and we have to remember that he has no power over us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so according to Romans chapter 6, what is the wages of sin?
Death.
Death. If you take your sin to the bank and get what it's worth, you get death. So then in Hebrews 2, 9 and 14, what was Jesus made?
Propitiation.
Okay, he was made lower than the angels so that he could taste death for us, right?
Yeah.
And to do what to the devil?
Render powerless.
To render him powerless. So he had to be made like who?
He had to be made like man.
Yeah, he had to be made like his brethren to become our high priest and to make propitiation for our sins. Now, it says in Hebrews 2, 11 through 14, that we are sanctified. What does it mean to be sanctified?
Set apart.
Okay, to be set apart. So what does holy even mean? What does holy mean? That word holy. Just means set apart to God. You think, oh, she thinks she's so holy or whatever, but it just means that you are set apart for God. It's not describing the character or anything. It's just saying that person is set apart for God's purpose. So that is what it means to be holy or to be sanctified, to be set apart to God. And so because we're set apart to him, he says he's not ashamed to do what?
Call his brethren.
Yeah, he's not ashamed to call his brethren, to call his brethren. He talks about that because since he partook of flesh and blood like we are, now we're his brothers, and he's not ashamed of that. Because we're going to be the companions that he someday is sharing his kingdom with and having a good old joyful time with. Okay, so we saw about Satan. Now what about Ephesians 1, 20 through 23? What do we learn about Jesus?
God raised him and seated him at his right hand.
Okay, so when he died, God raised him up, seated at the Father's right hand, far above what?
Any power.
Okay, so he has power over all that. So even though Satan is the prince of the power of the air and that he has rule over this world, he is the god of this world. Who is over the god of this world?
Jesus,
right? He is the Lord of all. So he is over all of that. And not only in this age, but what?
In the age to come.
In the age to come, looking ahead to the future again. It says that God put all things in subjection under his feet. And God gave them as a head over all things to the church, his body. Now, if everything is in subjection under Jesus' feet, what does that mean for us?
Well, we shouldn't have to give in to Satan or sin or any of that.
Because when we die, we are raised with him, right? And we are seated with him where?
In the heavenly.
And all that is under our feet as well. And so we are his body, he is the head, and we are part of his church. And he is the one who rules, and we, through him, have that right as well, don't we? And so we know that someday, looking ahead to Revelation, what's going to happen?
We'll rule with him.
Right, we're going to rule with him. Because he got it back, he got the rule back, and he will have defeated Satan, and he will be ruling, and we will be ruling with him. And we see that in Matthew 25, it says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, what's going to happen?
All the angels will come with him.
All the angels will come with him, because they're his servants, right? Mm-hmm. So they'll come with him, and then he'll sit where?
On his throne.
Yeah, on his glorious throne. So his glorious throne is going to be where?
In heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, on earth.
On the earth. He's going to sit on his glorious throne. He's going to sit on whose throne? David's throne, right? So he'll be on the throne of David. Remember it says when the angel told Mary that he was going to come, he said, I will give him the throne of his father David. So he's going to be on the throne of David, and he is going to be ruling. And then in Daniel 7, what did we see? How long is the kingdom going to last?
Forever.
Yeah, forever. It says his kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions will serve and obey him.
So that throne of David, is that in the New Earth?
No, think back to the millennium, remember?
We had
the tribulation. If you look at your little time chart, it's probably all in there. Okay, so we have Daniel, we have the calling of the church, Christ coming here, dying, the church, Jew and Gentile, one body. That's where we are today, right? Here we are today. And then we have the 70th week of Daniel to come.
That's the tribulation.
That's the tribulation time, man, lawlessness revealed, all that. And then at the end of that, Jesus will come back again. And when he comes back again, he'll take his throne. You remember the sheep and the goats? They're all going to come and gather before him. He's going to separate the sheep from the goats. And the goats are going to go where?
To hell.
To hell. And the sheep will do what?
Go to heaven.
No, not yet. What are we going to do? What are the sheep
going to do? They'll be on the earth.
Right, they're going to go into the kingdom, right? Come into the kingdom, which I prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So the sheep will come into the kingdom, and he will sit on his glorious throne, and he will rule. And it says in Revelation chapter 2, what does it say about who else will rule? Who is he talking to?
He's talking to the church.
Okay, the church. He's talking specifically to who? To he who overcomes, correct? Says, for those who overcome, he who overcomes, he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give rule over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, as I also have received authority from my Father. So we know that the believers that enter the kingdom, who persevere to the end, enter the kingdom, are going to rule with him, because we are in Christ, aren't we? as being in Christ, we will rule, because he's given authority from the Father, so he gives authority to us as well.
Would that be the church?
Yes.
Okay. So the sheep and the goats, is that before the 1,000 years?
Yes. Because who enters the kingdom? Who's the only one that are going to enter the kingdom?
Sheep. Well, the sheep.
It'll be sheep and it'll be the believers, right? Because the church will come back with who?
Jesus.
With Jesus, right? Okay. The church is before the tribulation. If we believe the rapture is to come before, then those... Well, Wayne will go over all this. He does a great job of going over it all again. But we know that the believers will rule with him on the earth. And so we have all those parables talk about if you're faithful with little here, you'll receive, you know, more... more responsibility, really, in the kingdom. So, okay, and then Revelation 5, it says, he's purchased for God with his blood men from every tribe, tongue, nation, and people, and made them to be what?
Kingdom of priests.
Okay. Kingdom of priests to our God, and they will do what?
Reign on the earth.
Okay, they will reign upon the earth. And so all the responsibility, whether it be mayors or town council, I don't know how it's going to work in the 1,000 years, but those will go to the faithful believers who will be ruling on the earth with him. Okay, and then Revelation 20 says what? Verse 6.
Blessed holy is the one who shares the first resurrection.
Okay, and they will be what?
Safe. Priests of God.
Okay, priests of God and of Christ, and will
reign with Christ.
Okay, they're going to reign with Christ for 1,000 years. And so the rule, think about the creation that God gave mankind, the right to rule the earth. We blew it. We gave it away. Satan took it over. Jesus got it back. And now, during that millennial time, who is going to rule over the earth? Man, right? Man will rule over the earth.
The raptured people plus those that got raised out of their grave when Christ comes back? No.
Well, with our little timeline. Okay. We know that when the rapture comes, who is going to be raptured?
Church.
Okay, it's the believers, but who's going to rise first?
Those who are dead in Christ.
The dead in Christ rise first. They meet the Lord in the air, changed forever with the Lord, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so those believers, the church age is complete then. And church involves who? Who's in the church?
The believers.
But it's Jew and Gentile together, right? Jew and Gentile together. Think of the book of Ephesians, Jew and Gentile together. Two loaves, two different loaves together, one body. Okay, Jew and Gentile together comprise the church. Church is done at the end. When the rapture comes, the church is done. Now, will there be people that believe through the tribulation times?
Yes.
There will be many people that believe. And, of course, what will happen to a lot of them?
They'll be martyred.
The martyrs. Remember, we saw the martyrs under the throne. There will be many that are martyred, but there are also been people that go through the tribulation that survive the tribulation. And so at the end, when Jesus comes with all the angels, sits on his glorious throne, all those people are gathered before him, and they're going to be judged. What are they going to be judged on?
The unbelievers we're talking about?
All the people are all going to be judged under one.
Their works.
What did he say? What did they do or not do?
What they did with Christ.
No. Remember, he's going to gather the nations before them, and he's going to put the sheep on one side and the goats on one side. And the goats, he says, what? What did they do? What didn't they do? They didn't take care of his people. They didn't take care of them when they were in prison and all that. They didn't give, and he said, you didn't give me, you know, anything to drink. You didn't take care of me. You didn't feed me when I was naked, clothe me when I'm naked, feed me when I'm hungry. So when could we do it? We didn't see you. Well, you didn't do it to my brothers. And who are you talking about?
The Jews.
Because it's the time of Jacob's trouble, terrible time for them. And so the people that did not take care of the Jews, what is that showing about them? This is not a judgment of works, but what is it showing about them? Whose team are they on?
They're
not on God's team, are they? Because they're not looking after what's close to his heart. And so they're off. Now the other group, the sheep, what did they do?
They did take care of
them. Yeah, they did. He says, you know, when you saw me hungry and naked and thirsty, took care of me. And he said, when did we do that? When he took care of my brethren. And so they come into the kingdom. And so you've got them coming into the kingdom as the people that will populate the earth. They come in their normal bodies because it's going to be 1,000 years. And there's going to be many people born, aren't there? Lots and lots and lots of people born. 1,000 years, long time. It's going to be a very fruitful time because the curse, I think, is going to be off. And it's going to be a great time, a lot of people. But it's going to happen at the end. 1,000 years go by. Everything is good. Is everybody perfect? No, the people that are born are people, right? And they have a decision to sin or not to sin. But if they sin, they break the law, what happens to them?
Well, they won't go to heaven.
Well, what is God? How does Jesus rule? And how does the rule of his answer? Okay, so yeah. Jesus and those who are ruling with him will rule with a rod of iron, and they are not gonna put up with nothing, right? They'll be, and if they die, it's gonna be because they were bad. Otherwise, they're going to live a long time. So at the end of that 1,000 years, you have all these people coming up, and there's some are good, some are bad, but they're all kept in line, right? Everybody has to obey because the righteous king is on the throne. The end of the 1,000 years, who's set free?
Satan.
Okay, Satan is set free. He's been bound in the pit. He's set free, and his purpose in being set free is to do what?
To deceive the nations.
He's getting one more chance to go at it and deceive whoever he can, and so he raises up how many that are going to follow after him. Remember? Is it just a few? No. It's a lot. It's a multitude. It's a great multitude that follow after him, that throw off the fetters of the king. They don't want that king. They want to do their own thing. So they follow after Satan. There's a big rebellion. They come around the city of the blood of the king, and what happens? Is there a fight or what?
No.
No, what happens? Yep, they're gone, right? Fire comes down, and they're gone. And from that point on, we move into the new heavens and the new earth. And we have the great white throne judgment before that, where all the unbelievers are raised, and they stand before the great white throne, and they are judged. Of course, the judgment for the believers happens when? When is that? The Bema Seat. When does the Bema Seat take place?
At the rapture.
Between the rapture and that 7 years, right before we come back with him, there's a time of the Bema Seat, and then the great celebration, the marriage supper of the Lamb. So, and then from then on, it's on eternity, and we don't really know a whole lot about that part of it, do we? It's not a lot.
People that were raptured aren't there in the millennium.
They do. They come back with Jesus, because when he comes back, if you look here, when he comes back, we have the rapture, the judgment seat of Christ, second coming, and they're the ones who follow him in robes of white, the armies of heaven. The armies of heaven. I think that's so interesting. I've thought about that so much because when we go to heaven, when we're raptured, are we going to learn to be an army up there? To learn to fight and to defend and to stand firm? And is that where we're going to do that? Where do we have to learn that? Here, right? We have to learn to be the army here on this earth. Our job is to be the army. And as the army, you think, I've never been in the military, but they are trained to stick together. They all have a similar purpose, right? They walk, lock, step together, and they fight the battle, and they stick together. And that's what we're supposed to be like. We're not supposed to be fragmented, all these little divisive groups. We are to be together fighting the battle. We have the battle to fight, and we see it in Ephesians 6. Our battle is not against who?
Flesh and blood.
No, it's not against flesh and blood. It's against who?
The devil.
Yeah, powers and... Lord, yeah, and we are to fight every day. And what is our weapon? What weapon do we have?
The armor of God.
The armor, we're clothed the armor of God, and we have the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. And boy, we need to know the word because we need to use it. We need to get up every single morning and put our armor on and remember that we are soldiers. And we have a very stiff battle these days to fight. So we need to hold forth the truth, be the light, press on with the light because we are the light. And if you hold forth the light, what does the darkness have to do? It has to go away. You know, if we turn the lights off in this room and it's dark and we turn it on, where does the darkness go?
Mm-hmm, goes.
It's gone, right? It can't exist with the light. So we have the job to be the light. So as you think about Hebrews and how they were encouraged to do what? What kind of, they were babies, weren't they? What were they drinking?
Milk.
They're only on the milk. They couldn't absorb anything besides the milk. And what does he tell them to do? Yeah, they need to eat the meat. They need to eat the meat. So why are we here in precept?
Eat the meat,
right? To learn how to eat the meat, to chew the meat, to digest the meat, to make us strong. So that's why we're studying the book of Hebrews. If there's ever a book that's going to make us strong, it's going to be the book of Hebrews, I think. So go on, keep studying, ladies. Just keep doing it. We'll just, you know, hopefully at the end we